Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons. Text 46. Bhutendriya manolingan dehanuchavachan vibhu bhajatyutsrajati hyanyas tachapi svena tejasa bhutendriya manolingan dehan uchavachan vibhu bhajat yutsrijati hyanyas tachapi svena tejasa. Please go ahead. Chati yanyas tachapi svena tejasa Please. Utendriya manolingam Tehanu chavachan vibhu Vajati utsrijati yanyas Nachapi svena tejasa. Putendriya manolingan Dhyanu chapachan vipu Pachat yutsrijati hanyas Tachapi svena tejasa. Puta. By the five material elements, Indriya, the ten senses, mana, and the mind, lingan, characterized, dehan, gross material bodies, ucha avachan, high class and low class, vibhu, the individual soul, which is the lord of the body and senses. Bhajati, achieves. Utsrijati, gives up. He, indeed. Anya, being different. Tat, that. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Svena, by his own. Tejasa, power of advanced knowledge. Translation, the five material elements, the ten senses, and the mind, all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes into contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The conditioned soul has knowledge. And if he wants to fully utilize the gross and subtle bodies for his real advancement in life, he can do so. It is therefore said here that by his high intelligence, Svena Tejasa, the superior power of the superior knowledge can achieved from the right source, the spiritual master or Acharya, he can give up his conditional life in a material body and return home back to Godhead. However, if he wants to keep himself in the darkness of this material world, he can do so. The Lord confirms this as follows in Bhagavad Gita 9:25: Yanti devavrata devan pitrinyanti pitrivrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The human form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to the higher planetary systems, to Pitriloka, or he can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home, back to Godhead. This prowess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul. Therefore, the Lord says, Mata smritir gyanam apohanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If one wants to receive real knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from bondage to repeated acceptance of material bodies. If one takes to the devotional service of the Lord and surrenders unto him, the Lord is prepared to give one directions by which to return home back to Godhead. But if one foolishly wants to keep himself in darkness, he can continue in a life of material existence. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutendriya manolingan dehan uchavachan vibhu bhajat yut srujati hyanyas tat chapi svena tejasa. Here the element is being brought out of freedom of the jiva. The living entity has a minute independence. That is to desire. We want to do something, and the Lord sanctions that desire. His sanctioning is not an unfunded mandate. It's a mandate which he backs up with his energies. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. The Lord facilitates our independent desires, our desires to surrender to him as well. That is the Lord's equanimity. He's equal to everyone in the sense that he fulfills everyone's desire. This was the question that Shukadeva Goswami was seeking to clarify for Maharaj Parikshit earlier. How is it that the Lord is equal to everyone, even when it's seen that he favors his devotees? So he brings out the story of, as we heard yesterday, in yesterday's class, he brings out the story of the discussion between Narada Muni and Yudhishthir. So that's one story within a story. Then within the story of Narada Muni and Yudhishthir, then Narada Muni quotes another story between Hiranyakashipu and Diti. And then Hiranyakashipu quotes another story of Yamaraj and the wives of King Suvarna. And Yamaraj is eventually going to quote one more story later in the chapter. So we have stories within stories within stories. And all of this is being recounted from the second telling of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? First there is Shukadev Goswami talking to Maharaj Parikshit, and then there's Suta Goswami talking to Shonakrishi. So all of these nested stories are going on. Since we're talking about free will, we have free will only to the extent that we can desire. Prabhupada would sometimes say minute independence. So that minute independence is there, that we have only the ability to desire, and the Lord sanctions that desire. He would give the example that if the sun is gone, even if we have very good eyes, we can't see anything. So we're not independent. And our dependence is calibrated by where our consciousness is, where our intention is. If we desire to please Krishna, then he gives us the understanding by which we can come to him. That is a substantial expansion of our perceptive capacity. Normally, we only see what we want for sense gratification when we're conditioned. I think many of us are familiar of the power of subjective experience. You really see what you want. If there's a child in a department store where there are many clothes hanging on different racks, some of those clothes are cheap, some of them are designer labels, which are hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. But the small child is running through the store and just pushing through all the different varieties of cloth and simply looking for, where's my mom? Okay. They don't actually see the distinction between these higher and lower categories of cloth. They're simply obstacles to my goal of mom. And so that example illustrates how our desire, our interest will throttle the amount of information which we can perceive and recognize and cognize. So when we surrender to Krishna, though, perception is significantly expanded. While we're contaminated materially, then we can't really know Krishna because we're under the modes of material nature. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nashochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. The living entity can understand Krishna when he's beyond the modes of material nature. So that knowledge is being brought out in the last three verses of this chapter by Yamaraj. he's describing knowledge, transcendental knowledge, because he wants to dispel the misery of the wives of Suvarna. When you're in misery, then you forget knowledge. And that is due to the influence of the modes of material nature. So by transcendental knowledge, one is brought above the modes of nature, and thus the ignorance is supposed to be dispelled. And so how do we come to this condition, though? It's not an impersonal process. We have to surrender to Krishna. Through loving devotional service to Krishna, then we can overcome the modes of material nature. It's natural to seek happiness. Atato brahma jigyasa anandamayo vyasat. The nature of the soul is to be pleasure seeking. I was serving in Columbus, Ohio for some years, and previously when I was there, there was a disciple, and she's still there, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who would cook the feast every Sunday. And she not only being an amazing cook, she's also very experienced devotee and caring, supportive individual. So one time she was sharing with me a realization she had about this statement, anandamayo vyasat. And she, Mother Kamagiri, she said, it's very interesting that the nature of the soul is to be pleasure-seeking. And she said that the main word here is seeking. It's not necessarily the nature of the soul to be pleased, but it is his nature to be pleasure-seeking. And the question she raised is that the real question is, who are we seeking pleasure for? If we seek pleasure for ourselves, then we're going to be miserable. But if we seek pleasure for Krishna, right? If we seek Krishna's pleasure, that is the natural constitutional position of the soul. So this desire to be happy, there's nothing wrong with that. But it has to be done in connection with Krishna to get the desired result. We're made for that. We have a purpose, a meaning, a value, and that is in connection with Krishna. But we're attached to dead matter. So because of that attachment, then we're expecting the impossible. We interact with people when we're conditioned the same way that we would interact with an object. That's called objectifying someone. No one likes to be objectified. And those who do like to be objectified, that's considered a mental illness. That dehumanizes the person, depersonalizes them, and it can't help us in Krishna consciousness. It can't help us even in happiness, because our happiness is actually tied to Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the active principle, which is the source of the pleasure which we seek in our interactions with objects and with people. Krishna is the strength of the strong. He's the beauty of beautiful things. And so this example of the queens lamenting for Suyagya is illustrating that point, that they have the body of the king, but that's not satisfying them, because the active principle, the living entity, which is empowered by the soul of the soul, the super soul, has left that body. So without the living entity empowering the body, and in turn being empowered by the super soul, there is no active principle of happiness. Like, recently there is a technological interest in virtual reality machines. It's this visor you put on your head, and you're supposed to be able to play games or experience different simulated realities with that thing. And I'm not one to traffic much in prophecy, but let me make a prediction that within the development span of that technological field, we're going to witness the development of a new mental disorder, something along the lines of virtual reality syndrome, where people are just going to be really stupefied by sitting all day in the same place with a visor, and they'll forget to eat or something ridiculous. It may even be touted as a new weight loss plan. All right? You heard it here first. Now, when you interact with a human being, or at least a sentient being, then when you interact, you're going to get a reciprocation, a reaction. That will be due to the active principle of Krishna, the living entity being empowered by Krishna as his superior energy. Krishna has favored his superior energy and given it facility to interact as an individual in exchanges which are meant to for love of Krishna ultimately. But when we try to interact with objects instead, there's no hope of reciprocation. Like, I'm just judging by the demographic in this room, I can assume that some of you are familiar with Apple products, right? Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding. Yeah? So you know about Siri. Siri is this little thing you talk to, and it helps you search objects out on the internet. But ultimately, Siri is really a joke in terms of relationships. Just yesterday, someone was using this thing, introduced me to it yesterday, and said, "Siri, chant Hare Krishna and be happy." You know what Siri said? Said, "Humans have religion. For me, there's only silicon." You know, so they come up with some little clever things, but ultimately we know very well that we can't have a real loving relationship with an object. It's nuts. And yet we do it. Every day we try to interact with the material energy of Krishna. So there are gradual processes like Varnashram Dharma which are meant to start you out at that point of attachment to the material energy and gradually uplift you to transcendental knowledge and recognition of the Lord's plan and his desire and how we can play a role in satisfying Krishna and making our life perfect and in the end going back to Godhead. And then there are fast-track processes like Namashraya Bhakti of simply chanting Hare Krishna more and 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 more until there's only chanting Hare Krishna. So whether we choose fast-track or slow-track, we have to turn to Krishna eventually. And the result of that will be transcendental knowledge. If you can also... I've done a lot of like references today, so I'll ask you to excuse me and just indulge me on one more. I think that our society's interest, not ISKCON society, but the rest of society, their interest in zombie apocalypse and robot apocalypse topics is stemming from a deep down understanding that there's really no happiness in dead matter. We're afraid, actually, of what it's doing to us when we interface too much with dead matter in the form of computers, in the form of bodies. And so we mythologize it as these, like, robot apocalypse movies, zombie apocalypse movies, where it one day catches up with us, right? And now we have to pay the piper. Okay, so if we just recognize that Krishna is the active principle, then will see he has his desires, and we interact with his energy according to his desires, then we feel happy. And that is the proof that we're doing the right thing and that Krishna consciousness is substantial. Raja vidya raja guhyam pavitram idam uttamam pratyakshagavamam dharmyam susukam kartumavyayam. By practicing Krishna consciousness, one gets direct perception of the self by realization. That experience, as George Harrison put it, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So that is the taste of Krishna consciousness is given as a barometer or an encouragement from Krishna to say, look, you're doing the right thing. Just keep going. You're on the right track. Now, to look at this, this is my first scheduled class here. So someone please let me know. I have till 9 o'clock. Is that right? Oh, it's written. How convenient. 8:45. Thank you so much. All right, so I have 8:45 with Q&A and comments. Okay, so I'm going to give a little option here. There's two ways that things can go right now. If there are some questions, I can take them. If there are no questions, I have some information which I'm going to write on the blackboard, which will just be a very clear presentation of the process of creation. Since we're talking about these different material elements in today's verse, I thought it would be nice to see all that in one chart. But I do want to give people an opportunity to give feedback, comments, questions, blessings, or curses. Narasimha Tirtha Prabhu, can someone kindly provide him a mic? Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have a comment.
Okay.
You were talking about, I just wanted to substantiate some of what you said, talking about the lack of Krishna consciousness is leading people to suffering from mental illnesses and whatnot.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a little trouble hearing you. Could you please speak up?
Yeah, okay. So I was saying that I wanted to kind of substantiate what you were saying, that the lack of Krishna consciousness is leading people to suffer from various type of mental illnesses.
Okay.
And it's something that I came across about 3 years ago. There was a gentleman who advertised in the newspaper for someone who was interested in helping him eat himself. This was 3 years ago.
Help him eat himself?
Yes. And somebody actually responded to this advert, and they had a get together and fashioned a way whereby they could help him eat himself, and ate parts of his body until he eventually died. So just wanted to share that scene as there was.
That is what happens when you eat yourself. Yes. Hare Krishna. You are what you eat just took on a whole new meaning, folks. Okay. That said, any other points? Or can I try to make this chart for everyone? Oh, Soma Prabhu. Chart, okay. Mahavishnu is here. Then he has time, karma, and the nature of the living entity in his glance. He glances down and at the pradhan. That is the material nature in its, you can say, merged form, unmixed. And when he glances at that pradhan, it becomes mahatattva. I'm going to use an abbreviation there. Mahatattva. That has two divisions of sattva, mahatattva, and sutra tattva in rajas. So that's goodness and passion. And then what would happen to the ignorance, one might think? That has its own whole category called ahankara. Ahankara. And so these are the developments coming down from Mahavishnu. Now, ahankara is overall in ignorance, but it also has goodness, passion, and ignorance within it. So those three, the goodness, the passion, and the ignorance, then create karta, or doer, karana, or the cause, and then karya, which is the effect. So cause and effect. You can say doer here. Doer. Now, those are, I'm just going to speak because I think I don't have time to write all this down. Those are Adidaiva, Adiatma, and Adibhuta. And then this one becomes the mind. So that's, again, ahamkar in the mode of goodness becomes the doer, and that creates the mind, as well as the 10 sense devatas, or the demigods in control of the 10 senses. Then there's the intelligence, which is in the mode of passion. That also has the prana and the 10 senses attached to it, prana being the life and air. And then finally, in from ahamkara in the mode of ignorance, one gets the tan matras and the elements. So the elements means the body, the gross body. So we can say body here. All right? Mind, intelligence, and gross body. The tan matras are sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. So now, from these, if you look at these guys all together, you can break them down into the 11 senses, which is ear, eye, skin, nose, tongue, hands, feet, voice, evacuative and reproductive organs. And then there's the progression of the elements, which is sound. Sound creates ether. Ether creates touch. Touch creates air. Air creates form. Form creates fire. Fire creates taste. Taste creates water, water creates smell, and smell creates earth. Now all of that, if I were to have written all that down, all of that part is the unmixed creation. And then once that gets assembled by the Maya Shakti, assembly, assembly is done by Maya, the Lord's Maya Shakti, then for 1,000 years, I really appreciate you holding this, by the way, thank you. For 1,000 years, it's kept in a dormant state. And then finally, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, in his form as Hiranyagarbha, or the universal soul, the super soul of the universe, enters into that previously inactive, assembled material energy, which we now can call a universe, and enlivens it. Enlivens it. And then finally he expands as the Virat Rupa. That That's what Lord Brahma meditates on before he does his secondary creation. So all of this was like the primary creation or sarga, and then after the Virat Rupa is created, then Lord Brahma has something to meditate on and extract ingredients for the creation of the universe from, and then he can do visarga, or the secondary creation of the universe. So since this verse was talking about the senses and the tanmatras and all these elements, I thought it would be nice to kind of see them codified here. I'm sorry I didn't have time to write it all down properly or enough chalk. But I hope it was at least something to get interested in. Prabhuji. They're not only miseries. The Adi-daiva is just that which pertains to things beyond our control, like weather, temperature, things which are controlled by the demigods. Then Adi-atma are things which pertain to the mind and body, and then Adi-bhuta is things which pertain to other living entities, the gross. So it's going from subtle to gross, right? Adi-daiva, Adi-atma, and then Adi-bhuta. Bhuta is like the gross bodies of different entities. And so when you put klesh at the end, then that's miseries. Adi-atmic klesh, adi, and so on. That's miseries pertaining to the mind and body, to the, to the demigods, to the mind and body, and to other living entities. I'm sorry. Oh, just Adi-daiva, Adi-atma, Adi-bhuta. Yeah, it's the same words. Is that helpful? Thank you so much. Prabhu?
Just the question is, 1,000 years you mentioned, is that human years or another time scale? So is that human lifetime years, or is that another time scale?
Yeah. And ahankara mixed with mode of goodness, it creates mind, and ahankara mixed with mode of and it creates intelligence. Is it in our right order? Like, ahankara mixed with mode of goodness creates mind.
Yeah, that's correct.
It should be mode of... But it seems like intelligence is higher than mind. It should be goodness. Is not like that?
Dominant one. If the mind is dominant, then it's like the child being dominant and you have crayon all over the walls. If you catch my example. Okay, I think we've got any last burning question, Prabhuji?
Teachings, but this might be giving the answer. What is the mind, intelligence, and false ego made of? I never thought of the question because I thought the mind itself, the intelligence, false ego, were the most reduced elements.
In the
could you comment?
In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains that the mind is the condition of having material desires. It's a subtle thing. It's having material desires. And when one has a pure love of Krishna, then his subtle body is completely dissolved. And he has only a spiritual body, spiritual mind. So it's made up of those desires. Oh, yeah, in this case, mind means all three, mind, intelligence, false ego. Prabhupada gives the example that if you have a pond and a bubble pops up, then you can understand that deep down under there, there was something rotting, and that gas came up. And so that's demonstrating just what our minds are made of. You are what you think, I guess. Your mind is what you think. Okay. Okay. I'm looking, I'm being pointed that way, but I don't see what I'm being pointed to. Something over there for me? Okay. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.